Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Working like a dog, trying to please them all, trying to put another comma in the bank, trying to get these broke down dreams to crank. Sometimes a good, good girl gotta break out the denim, gonna pour me a drink for my Addison. For heaven's sake, I need a good time. Lord knows it ain't no crime.
Leave a little bit.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. We're here live. Redneckinize Radio live, all things trucking and then some. Give us a holler. 515-602-9731. Talking about the trucking industry and life on the road and news information, keeping the trucking industry moving, helping to make it a better place to work, a better place to live, and a better place to just, I don't know, be better. Let's do it. So, breaking news, I just got across the wire, just came across. Remember that dipshit down there in the Bahamas? The crypto guy that suddenly just all everything went under and he lost a bunch of money and then he came around and, you know, the funniest thing was he was going around saying, oh, you know, hey, I messed up and I feel bad, but, you know, hey, them are the breaks, right? And they said that everything he was doing was illegal. Well, he was down to the Bahamas and we thought, you know, surely he's going to get in trouble. And we're like, well, hell, he ain't, you know, nobody's going to do anything. You know, he was contributing to politicians and all the regulators were like, you know, well, you know, we'll take a look at it, but it ain't no big deal. Well, today, just now, just came across that he's been arrested down in the Bahamas. That they are going to charge him. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for regular people. I tell you what, this whole finance thing is just crazy. It's crazy. There was a 60 Minutes article. It just brings me back to this deal where there was a 60 Minutes interview with a guy. He was a gambler. He was a professional gambler in Las Vegas. It was to the point where he had to hire people to make his bets, and then he had to hire different people like every other week because by the afternoon that he was out making – he'd bet on football games, what do you do? And that would – so the betting houses all over the city would get word of who was making his bets because he was so good, and they wouldn't take his bets. So he was – I mean, he was making millions of dollars because he was betting like hundreds of thousands of dollars on football games that he knew was – you know, he just knew. I don't know. He just was doing really good. And they thought that he was rigged and all that, but he wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, he was betting on a bunch of different games and it was just, he had lots of money. That was what it was. You put a lot of money down on one game and it pays off, it pays up, you know, especially when you got those odds and everything. Well, they'd interviewed him because he's like this really wealthy person that's doing this and making a good living off of just gambling. And they asked him in an interview, he goes, why don't you go take all this money and go to Wall Street and do, and if you're so good at that. And he said, you know, I did that. He goes, and them bunch of crooks over there. When he said, he goes, the way the rules are written, the way they can just change all that. They can do whatever they want over there. There's no rules over there. At least in gambling, there's rules. The rules is that you bet on something and if it pays off, you win. Over there, not only do they know who's going to win, you know, but they know how much it's going to pay off. So they, you know, he was like, no, I didn't know anybody over there. So When I went over there, I lost lots of money because I didn't know. Because over here, at least I know that nobody's got their hand in the pot. You always think, you know, is it rigged? Is something rigged? And he said, you know, Wall Street's rigged, you know, and all that. So for what we know, you know, basically the stuff that we see day in, day out, you know, company does good, company does bad, we can see that. But a lot of times things are weird and it's like the company doesn't make any money, but people buy stock. Like Tesla. Tesla doesn't make any money, people buy stock. Twitter. Look at Twitter. Twitter was not a good company, but Twitter's stock was still more valuable than Ford Motor Company just because it was a tech stock and everybody's like, well, it, you know, it's in the news, so obviously it must be making money. And people were buying the stock and the stock was valuable. So technically, when Elon Musk went in there and bought the company, he way overpaid. And he's finding out that now, that he way overpaid, that there was, like, he cut the staff by, like, you know, 70%. Because all the people over there making all the good money working in for that company, they weren't doing anything. You know, and so he took away all the big-time salaries and took away all the perks. And now they're all filing grievances with the state at labor board saying he's making us sleep in our offices by putting beds in our offices. He's like, yeah, well. What are you going to do, you know? But anyway, I thought that was, you know, the way Wall Street works and everything. I just got my mind on it because of this breaking news that I just saw and everything. But that's not the main thing that's going on that's come across the wire here in the last, say, you know, 3 or 4 days because of the – and I always look at, you know, through the weekend and stuff like that. But what I did see was that the FMCSA – there's an article in Freight Waves, and it was about the emergency exemptions. And it was, they were talking about that the FMCSA is thinking of taking away some of the exemption waivers let's see here I mean was it's like a Yeah, here's the one that came out last week sometime. And oh, come on there. Get out of here. There you go. Cool deal. So, yeah, the FMCSA considering limiting scope of emergency waivers says relief would apply only to daily and weekly hours of service limits. So what they're saying is there's these lot of these exemptions they put on this stuff. And what I would like to see is it all go away. I don't want any exemptions. I mean, if they are about safety, if all the rules that are in place, if they always say they're for safety, well, then they shouldn't be skipped. They shouldn't be wavered. Okay, you shouldn't waver a rule if it's based on safety. You know, everything that we do as truck drivers, we do because it's safe. You know, we check the truck and walk around and inspect it and thump the tires and you know, check the air pressures and look underneath for oil leaks and all that because it's safe to make sure you know that. You know, if you don't do that stuff, you know, then you risk not knowing anything. And that way, when you don't spot something, you know, then you risk breaking down out there on the road. Things like that. So as truck drivers, we know we do certain things when it relates to safety, you know, this here, it says the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is proposing to roll back the relief automatically given to commercial truck drivers and trucking companies when disaster strikes. He goes, the change, which would alter the rule established in 1992, would mean that during a regional emergency caused by weather or supply chain disruptions, drivers and carriers would be exempt only from daily and weekly limits on driving time and not other requirements that are also exempt in current emergency waivers. And I didn't know this, but I guess the waivers and it's all everything else, you know, those other requirements found in like in the FMCSA manual in part 390 to 399, the federal regulation, they're all automatically exempted in emergency current waivers, included driver qualifications, motor vehicle inspections, and prohibitions on operating while ill or fatigued. And I guess they're probably going to get rid of that. I mean, it's like if you can drive over your hours, but if you are, I don't know. I just don't. A lot of times when they put a rule in there, it's like, what are you doing? You know, and it says, in addition, instead of regional emergency declarations triggering a 30-day exemption, automatic relief would apply for only 5 days. And that's good. I mean, limiting this exemption is good. Okay. The exemption should be thrown out. There should be no allowed exemption. Nothing. Okay. Either enforce the rules or don't. Okay. It says the presidential declaration of emergencies would continue to trigger a 30-day exemption from all regulations in Part 390 to 399, which is based on agency subject matter expertise and input from states, affected localities, industry groups, and others. FMCSA believes that most emergencies justify allowing carriers and drivers providing direct assistance in responding to an emergency relief from the normal hours of service. Limits to deliver critical supplies and services to the communities in need, FMCSA stated in its proposal. Let's see. So I actually have this document here, and it's it says Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and there is a proposal. It says proposed rulemaking. FMCSA is proposing to narrow the scope of regulations which would relief in providing automatic for motor carriers providing direct assistance in emergency has been declared. It says comments must be received on or before, and it says insert date 60 days after date of publication of the Federal Register. And the date, it doesn't have anything on here. We might have to go back into our rules and see if there is a proposed. Maybe we need to comment on this stuff. It says, however, other safety regulations often have no direct bearing on the motor carrier's ability to provide assistance to the emergency relief efforts. By limiting the scope of the current rule on emergency regulatory relief, the proposed rule would clarify that the federal industry, where am I at? Lost my place. And that the federal regulation not relevant to most emergency situations remain in effect while retaining the agency's flexibility to tailor emergency regulatory relief to the specific circumstances. Okay, so here's another thing too. This is what's so stupid, okay? This is what lawyers do, all right? You know how they do? It's like not including but not limited to kind of thing, where it's kind of like, it's like this is what you shouldn't do, but we can actually say you shouldn't be doing a lot of things, you know. So the proposed rule would clarify that the federal regulations not relevant to most emergency situations remain in effect while retaining the agency's flexibility to tailor emergency regulatory relief to the specific circumstances of an emergency. So what they're saying is that, okay, we're going to take away these, but we actually can add them in there if we want to. But we're going to take them away automatically. That way they don't get triggered automatically. So what it is that when they do declare an emergency, as long as they can, just every time they want to do an emergency, they say, yeah, you want to add in these? Let's add in these. We'll add them in. You know, instead of, so automatically, it's when a presidential emergency gets declared, you got 5 days, you can drive more hours. Used to, you can do anything you want. Nowadays, that's all it's going to be. But this is a proposed rule, hasn't gone into effect yet. It's not going to do anything. It's still something that they got to talk about and ask and all that. So safety advocates have pushed in recent years to limit the scope and duration of blanket emergency waivers, pointing out potential safety. Yeah, safety advocates. You know, this is another thing. If you're a safety advocate, then it shouldn't be. You shouldn't have no exemptions at all. Okay, safety advocates. I'm going to tell you that. Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, the CVSA, told FMCSA in 2020 that while it may be appropriate to waive hours of service regulations to expedite delivery of emergency supplies, wavering drug and alcohol and alcohol, drug and alcohol and alcohol requirements, for example, does nothing to expedite the delivery of emergency products or services, but may have a serious negative impact on highway safety, according to the petition CFA submitted to the agency. And see, that's so funny to me. It's like, okay, for you to, first off, to consider waivers, we already know that that's not, like, I mean, when you're sitting there writing up rules and said, okay, so in emergency, we get to throw all these rules out the window. Yeah, okay. Okay, even in the ones you're talking about, you know, I mean, you sit around, you think about it, these bureaucrats sitting around a table thinking up these rules. You know, they're in charge now, right? And they're like, well, we're going to have all these good rules for safety. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. We should. Oh, yeah, okay, good. Drug and alcohol, yeah, tired, yeah, okay. He goes, what about in emergency situations? You know, do we really need to have all the, I mean, we got things going on we need help with. Yeah, okay, so in emergency, then nothing applies. We just say for 30 days, nothing applies. And they're like, even the drug and alcohol requirement? Well, yeah, I mean, nothing. Like, okay. I mean, come on. You have to be some kind of idiot to sit at a table and say, we're talking about safety here. But in emergency, nothing, just everything goes. It's like, come on, you know? It says, FMCSA stated in the proposal, however, that there is no information suggesting that existing emergency exemptions have negatively impacted road safety. Okay. No information suggesting that existing emergency exemptions have negatively impacted road safety. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Because if there is no information suggesting that these exemptions are bad for road safety, that means that none of the rules need to apply. If the rules don't apply in an emergency, and you know what, and so you say, this is what you're saying. When we declare an emergency, the drivers are doing good. They're not having accidents. You know, they're driving over the hours, but there's no problems because they're doing good. Okay, so what about we just have the entire system just say no rules? I mean, you're saying that the roads are not less safe when these exemptions or when these rules are exempted. That's what you're saying. So just throw them all out and let drivers do what they need to do, and you'll be saying that everything's fine. That's what you're saying right there. Okay? Because what you're saying is that, you know, that we have these hard rules. I mean, basically what everybody's agreeing to, you know, and people out there that disagree with me probably are just saying the same thing. There are rules in place. Okay? There is an exemption in place, but people still, when they see the exemption, you know, they still say, well, we need to still follow the rules. And that's what I'm saying. Follow the rules. No exemptions. Okay. I'm not saying get rid of all the rules. I'm saying let's not have any exemptions, because if there is no impact on road safety, why is that? The reason why is, you know, why there is no impact on road safety during the exemptions is because all the drivers don't exempt themselves. They follow the rules. That's why. Okay? And that's why, like in a lot of these scientists have said, you know, having the rules and having, you know, whether, you know, it doesn't matter about, like, you know, enforcing the rules harshly and having large fines and shutting drivers down and all that. Setting a standard. And that's what we need to do as truck drivers. We just need to set the standard. Standard is drive 10 hours a day, and I think it's just sleep 8, because that's good enough, okay? I mean, we should go back to 10 and 8. That's what we should be doing. The old rules were just fine, 10 and 8, no 14, you know, 70 in a week, that's fine. That standard, drivers are pretty much saying, you know what, I'll follow those standards, you know, And then some drivers, they drive more. Some drivers, they drive less. I mean, I just don't see how changing the rules affected safety. ELDs, they don't, you know, I mean, we're just finding out that now. that none of those rules. It's just a standard. We've set the standard years ago, 10 and 8. That's what we set that standard, you know. And you had some drivers, yeah, they do go a little over, you know, and whatever. But it's not like you're having, I don't know, these days it just seems like we're getting more and more. Maybe it's because the computers are in the trucks. We instantly know, you know, maybe it is because companies are out there and more trucks are out there. We just see more drivers doing it. But, you know, back in the day, it wasn't like that, you know. You know, of course, these days with the deregulation, it's easier and easier to become a truck driver. It's easier and easier to become a company truck driver in these big companies. And these big companies, I mean, you know, I mean, that's, of course, if you ask any old school trucker out there, they'll tell you the ones who need to be watched are the big companies. The old school guys, they know what they're doing. And that's what we see. We see it out there all the time. When you're a brand new truck driver that's just thrown in the seat, and they all they want you to do is be a steering wheel holder sitting in the seat, you know, then you're not capable of judging for yourself when you're tired. You're not capable of judging for yourself the roads are too dangerous or whatever. You know, you're just told, you know, put it in gear and go. And I mean, these days the trucks are automatic, you know, lane following distance, you know, lane departure, shoot, CDLs are getting passed out like candy these days. So, you know, we get rid of the exemptions. That's a given, because nobody's getting trained out there to do what they need to do anyway. The standard has been blown out, blown away. You know, as truck drivers, we have to set the standard. That way the rules don't need to apply because we've already set the standard. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're not going to disobey the rules for your benefit. A lot of guys, they fudge the rules for their benefit. You know, it's kind of like we've always said it. You know, if I run out of time and I'm 30 minutes from the house, ain't no clock going to tell me I got to stop. That was always the truck mentality. The trucker's mentality was, ain't no computer or no law going to tell me when to stop. You know, especially if it's in a situation where I don't feel comfortable stopping at this place or, you know, if I'm close to the house or, you know, whatever. The rules don't apply to me when that happens. And a lot of drivers felt that way. And it wasn't like they were, you know, I mean, there were tons of drivers that felt that way. So what? It wasn't like the accidents were happening everywhere. I mean, I guess that's probably the downfall of redneckinized is we know about common sense. It's common sense. Okay. If you get tired, weather's bad, you stop. You don't drive. Right. Hours of service, you know, hey, yeah, don't drive over your time. And especially don't drive too much over your time to get to a safe spot. But it's always about getting to a safe spot. Common sense says get to a place where you can park. Don't park on the side of the road. You know, get to a place where you can park and have some services. You know, instead of a closed down, parking lot, you know, in a dangerous area. You know, we don't want to do that. That's not good. That's not common sense. Common sense is get to a safe place. And if you can get to the house, get to the house. That kind of thing. That's what we talk about. So, I don't know, that just it shocked me when this was coming down the pipe here that they're going to change these rules, and there's a lot of different rules that get exempted. And then the ones we don't want to get exempted, the hours of service, you know, we don't want them exempted, but they're like, well, that's the only ones we're going to exempt. Like, come on, man, get out of here. You know? I don't know. What do you think about that? Give me a holler. 515-602-9731. And, you know, we talk about all things. Even if you've been listening to the podcasts and you've been listening to a lot of things and things got on your mind, you want to follow up on some past stuff, you know, give me a holler. Let me know. 515-602-9731. Even if, you know, you got something else on your mind, maybe you want to talk about some bad weather where you're experiencing or maybe some freight delay, stuff like that. Hey, give me a holler. You know, let me know. 515-602-9731. We got a lot of information out here to share with drivers to make sure we keep things going on in the industry. And then, of course, just out there, common knowledge. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and that's just something we do. So let's see. Whoop. Computer, every time I do it, mess it up. I mess it up. That's not the one I wanted anyway. There you go. So, yeah, give us a holler. 515-602-9731. And I'd like to thank all of our great sponsors out there. One of the great sponsors, I think, is DPF Regeneration. You go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support and sponsorship and everything. They're the guys where you can get your particulate filters cleaned. You ship them off to them. They clean them and ship them back. Or if you need to buy any parts, they got charge air coolers, EGR valves, you know, turbos, all kinds of stuff. Check them out, dpfregeneration.com. So hang tight here. Like I said, we're talking about some more things coming up. And give me a holler. Redneck and Eyes Radio.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're back. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio live. All things trucking and then some. We appreciate everybody's support. Last week, we were talking about a book that just got released called Data Driven by an associate professor over at Cornell University, basically a sociologist talking about the impacts, kind of like what, you know, what we do as human beings in our environments and everything. And it was talking about how the industry of trucking has changed to where it's more focused on surveilling the drivers and how that might impact. And I don't know, one of those, it's like a lecture that she did online, the professor. And I tell you what, it's pretty good. We probably need to focus on what she has to say, because it helps us. It's on our side. It's talking about how stupid the things are, because the rules are just creating more and more tired drivers. The standards that they're setting with all these safety mentions of self-driving trucks and all that, but you know, the technology isn't quite there yet, but we have all this other technology, like the cameras checking out, you know, recording things, or the lane departure warnings, or just stuff that they've come up with, like vibrating seats and stuff like that. Is that technology is here, and that technology is being implemented, but it's not really fixing anything. It's actually making things worse. So it's really interesting the way they're thinking about it. It's, you know, the thing is, hey, let's make sure the driver doesn't fall asleep. Okay. But, and then of course, now I was looking back at the old company deals that I've been seeing here lately about talking about, you know, fatigue and everything. And it's funny because they always say, well, if you need to get some sleep, get some sleep. Okay. We'll do that. Okay. So how many people out there, you go to orientation and they have it in their little manual. You know, if you're tired, get some sleep. And then you're out there on the road doing the job, and you say that, and they're like, what? Get out of here with that. We need to get the freight down the road. Let's go. That kind of thing, right? And I know as drivers, sometimes I've done it, dude. There's been times where I didn't even drive 100, 200 miles that day, because I just didn't feel it. But it was when I was over the road and I had a little, you know, I made sure I had time, made sure you had some ability to shut down when you could, that kind of thing. You did it where you were like, you know, you're going to go book another load, and you're like, you know what, let me just go ahead and get some rest, and I'll book one in the morning, or you know, I'll wait and schedule something for in the morning and everything. I just didn't feel right today, so that's fine with me. That kind of thing, right? And then other days you're like, you know, let's go, you know, that's the way it is, and that's the way trucking is sometimes, is it's all about how you feel, because you're the one doing it, man. You're the captain of the ship. And these companies, they're trying to get the most out of their trucks every day, because they know that they only get 11 hours a day to driving, and a lot of times it's only during the day, because you got to pick up and deliver in the early in the night or late in the night, early in the morning, stuff like that. And so they just push. And, you know, they got all these computers and everything, and it just ain't, you know, it ain't doing it. You know, so I remember working as a dispatcher. You know, the drivers, they called in something, oh, I got too tired. You know, or some of them, they just shut down. They wouldn't even tell you. You know, and you were like, that load's going to be late. You know, and you're thinking to yourself, is it going to be late and all that? And the driver says they'll be there. See, I was one of those guys. I would say, I'll be there on time. But then when you're sitting there watching the load on your little computer, and you know, it's like, it's got 300 miles to go and it's got like 7 hours to get there. You know, they're like stressing. It's like, well, he's got 5 hours of drive time left, but he's only got 7 hours to go. So he better get moving, or he better, you know, whatever. It's one of those things. And when I was driving, I was like, don't worry about it. I'll get it there. You know, that kind of thing. But I know these companies, they just stress, man. They're stressed, always stressed. You get messages all the time from those dispatchers stressing, you know, because that's their job. And as truck drivers, especially when you're at old school, you're like, leave me alone. Quit bothering me. You know, I said I'd be there, that kind of thing. So I don't know, man. It just, the way it's going these days with all this stuff, it's crazy. That so this data-driven book, I haven't dived into it completely yet, but I have been researching a lot of other things that have been on, like, you know, online where I could listen to it going down the road. There was some audio that I was able to listen to, and it's really interesting. So I'm looking forward to catching up on that and getting all that details. There's another professor too that has done different studies. So it's a lot of cool stuff. I was looking to see if there was a rulemaking for this proposed rule change for the exemptions. And yeah, there it is. See what this says. Yep, regulations.gov. And yep, clarification to the applicability of emergency exemptions. Yep, there it is. So it's on there. And this is the link we need right here. But yeah, the proposed rule's up there, and the comments are due by February 6th of 2023. So this is good. We got time. And so far, looks like no comments. Or view-related comments, it says two. And I can't really see anything. Oh, here, we can do it this way. Click here. Now get out of here with that. I'm trying to read the actual comment itself, but it's not letting me. Let's see. Maybe I can go see what this says. This is just a question here by this commenter. It says the president or the governor always declares emergency. FMCSA does not. Is it still going to be 30 days? And it doesn't look like the 30 days is going to go away, or the 30 days is going to go away. It might be a 30-day emergency, but the FMCSA is only going to allow 5 days. Is pretty much what it's going to be, unless they specifically. It's kind of like an automatic 5 days, but then they can still make it 30 if they want. And just like what I said in the rule, they want to be able to say these exemptions no longer apply, but we can still change them if we want to, basically what they're saying. So, but that's what it is. Let me go ahead and look this other one up. It's like it might be some type of PDF or something that they downloaded. And see if I can look at it. Maybe there's something that what it is they probably wrote up a document. Yeah, this is looks like a law firm out of New Mexico. And it says, I consider it a shame that it says will not be examined for narrowing during any emergency. However, for non-presidential declarations, this is a start. I consider it irresponsible to exclude commercial motor vehicle drivers and carriers from the parts that we're discussing. The carrier CMB drivers responding to the emergencies are doing so for compensation and by removing the requirement to comply with these part and carrier drivers are disregarding all safety to make more money. In 2005, following the Katrina hurricane, J.B. Hunt has neglected to identify its profits for 2005-2006. It says with $1.3 billion in 2004 and $1.7 billion in 2007, you can only imagine what the amount of profit J.B. Hunt racked in for the efforts to support Hurricane Katrina. It says Mr. Hill was advised of carriers pulling trucks out of the weeds when he was a chief safety officer in 2006. Mr. Hill was in disbelief. It was my humble opinion these rules should be revised across the board. How can we place other Americans in danger so carriers and can skip parts 390, 399? The exemptions in part 390 is ludicrous. It says removing the requirements for brakes, tires, and cargo securement, USDOT numbers while ill or fatigued, and maintenance allows carriers and drivers to capitalize on the suffering of others while placing more in harm's way. And I mean, I get the point, because if you actually haul freight for FEMA, you're getting paid really good. You know, I was actually for Landstar during that time. Not that one. It was a different one. But I mean, all these hurricanes, every time a hurricane comes in, they say, we need trucks. And the trucks go down there, and sometimes you don't ever do nothing. You just go down there and wait. But you're getting paid by the day. And you're getting paid really good by the day. And if you're an owner-operator, at least to like Landstar or somebody like that, you need to make sure that you're getting all the money, because, you know, at least a fair amount of it. Because what had happened was that we knew what the government was paying. And then what Landstar says, well, we're, you know, it's kind of like you're getting paid 65% of this rate. Well, we found out that rate wasn't the right rate. It was the FMC or the FEMA was paying a higher rate. So really you're getting a cut rate, only 65% of that, when really it should have been a lot higher, and you should have been getting 65% of a whole lot more. So that kind of thing. Yeah, we see it. I do agree about the capitalization thing and all that, but that's from one of the other comments that have already been done. It says that the rule should be revised to its entirely to safeguard Americans from those that would capitalize on the misfortune of others. There's no need to disregard these parts mandating a DOT number, driver qualifications, operation of a commercial vehicle while driving ill or fatigued, parts or accessories and parts of maintenance. It says American Highways. And I'll go along. This is, like I said, this is from a law firm up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'll go along with this. That it's just safety. Just if it's about safety, then don't exempt it at all. That's all I can tell you. So, we'll go dive into this here. We got a comment deal. We'll share it on our Facebook page. So go check it out. And that's what we'll do. We'll get started on this. We'll talk about it more and more, because we were always under the impression that, if it's a safety rule, if you say we have rule in place for your safety, well, then you never ever should disregard that rule. Never. Okay? Basically, bottom line. Okay, so that's it. And so that now they're saying, well, we're gonna curb these exemptions. Yeah, just throw out the exemptions, period. Shouldn't be allowed to do it at all. Okay. And if you know, and you're talking about weight, you know, let's let them haul 90,000. Okay, do that. Set the rule for 90,000 all the time. If 90,000 is okay for emergencies, then 90,000 should be good all the time. If it's about safety, if it's not about safety and only about legality, you know, then say it. But you don't say that. You always say it's about safety. You know, say what you, what is it called? Say what you mean what you say. Bottom line, right? Well, anyway, that's it. I got to get to work. So I'll share all these deals on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed too. So check it out and go subscribe to Redneck and I's on YouTube. Appreciate everybody doing that. I'm still trying to figure out how to get my YouTube working again, but we'll get on there. But hey, redneckandeyes.com, that's where you'll find links to all of our social media accounts, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. And go check out all of our great sponsors. We've been talking about them. Trucker Tools is one of our other sponsors. We'd like to appreciate all their support. And that's Trucker Tools. Truckertools.com is their website. Trucker Tools, that's the app that you can get when you get from your app store. You can book freight, track freight. You can even book your route, kind of like check your route to where you can find fuel stops and parking and Walmarts emergency, you know, like roadside assistance maintenance, you know, anything out there on the road. So Trucker Tools, the app for truckers, we appreciate all their support. So, we'll see you here tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, 515-602-9731. It's Redneck and I's Radio Live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We appreciate everybody's support on doing that. And see, I did it again. Good thing I hit the button. I should look down here. That got the little bar lights up. So that's the one we got to watch out for. Is it playing? See, now it ain't working. There it is. I knew it was coming. But yeah, check it out. Like I said, renegonize.com. That's us. Check us out. 515-602-9731. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a holler. And you guys out there, stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow night. Stay safe. Stay successful. Keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.